Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 128, entitled How to Develop Your Dating Skills and Become Great with Women, I chat with Marnie Kinross, also known as Marnie Your Wing Girl. Marnie is a best-selling author, TV and radio personality, and one of the top dating coaches for men in the world. In today's episode, she talks all about how single men can learn the skill of being able to meet, attract, and date virtually any woman they want. Marnie shares with us her best tips on approaching women, having great conversations, flirting with women, and being a much more attractive man. If you're wondering what you can do right now to instantly become better with women and improve your dating life today, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Gentlemen, have you joined the best Facebook group on the planet yet? If not, check your pulse right now because there is something seriously wrong with you. I say this all the time, guys, but seriously, the Elite Man Mastermind group on Facebook is the number one community for connecting with men, connecting with great men. We've had thousands of guys now join the group and share ideas every single day on becoming the elite and best men we can be. So join the group right now by going to elitemanmastermind.com. If for some reason you haven't joined yet and request to join the group, it is a private group, which means you do have to request, but I will add you in within just a few hours after your request. Trust me, you are going to love this group and absolutely love being a part of the Elite Man Mastermind. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Marnie Kinross, also known as Marnie Your Wing Girl from WingGirlMethod.com. Marnie, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I have, believe it or not, I've had a number of guys mention your name throughout the past few months, and I knew I had to get you on the show eventually. Really excited. I mean, we've talked, I think, in the past a number of times, too, about, you know, doing shows and getting some collaboration together, but we finally made it happen. My guys have wanted you on the show for a while, and I'm excited.
Oh, that feels nice. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, I got a couple of guys I'm really close to in my mastermind group on Facebook, and they're always talking about your stuff. Actually, I don't know if you know, you might know one of the guys. His name's Nate Harris, Nate H. He's big fan of yours.
Yeah. Okay, you know that name. That's so funny. Okay, thank you.
He talks
blushing
about you.
Now I can't do this interview. We have to do it another time. I'm like blushing. But thank you.
Yeah, so shout out to Nate H. He's a big supporter. He's actually a moderator in one of my Facebook groups. Really good guy. But yeah, he loves your stuff. He's always talking about you. One of your big fans. And today, in today's episode, I want to kind of dive into. We'll talk about a number of topics, dating related, and more specifically for guys who are single. So all the single guys out there, all the men listening to the show, this is going to be a fantastic episode. We're going to touch on a number of different things, and just cover a number of different kind of topics related to being single and getting better with women, because it is a skill, as you know. It is something you can get better at. You're not just like doomed to your looks or doomed to your fate, you know, stumbling upon women you come across in life and they randomly like you or not. It's actually something you can improve on and get better at. And first thing I want to start with, though, Marnie, is how did you get into this whole thing? How did you get into helping guys get good with women? There's not too many female coaches out there specifically. And, you know, it's just kind of it's always a interesting question that I have when I see women dating coaches out there who help guys. So how did you get into this whole scene?
I honestly did it by accident. I sort of, you know, tumbled into it. When I was younger, I had a bunch of guy friends, and I was always a wing girl for those guy friends. I was naturally able to help them meet girls, talk to girls. I'd give them feedback on what they were doing wrong, what they were doing right, what the women were thinking, what the women were doing that they were interacting and dating with. So naturally, I had a knack for it. Not that I ever, you know, aspired to be a wing girl when I was older, but I was really good at being a wing girl, although I didn't categorize myself as one. And I moved out to Los Angeles, and I found myself single, and I ended up going to this singles mixer at a rabbi's house, and nobody was interacting, and men and women were on opposite sides of the room, not for religious purposes, but just because they weren't talking to each other and they were shy or afraid, whatever it was. And I started grabbing guys and started pulling them towards women and, you know, started conversations for them, helped make them look cooler. And by the end of the night, people were interacting. So I went home and I said to my roommate, because I hated my job at the time. I was working in PR. And I said, oh my God, I loved what I did tonight. I helped people become more confident and I helped guys understand women. It was really awesome. I want to do this professionally. I wonder if I could be a wing girl. And he said, I don't even know what that is, but I know that guys will never want to listen to women about advice on other women because most women give bad advice. And I said, you know what? I don't agree with you. I give great advice. So I went into my bedroom, like 1:30 in the morning. I posted an ad on Craigslist and I had over 75 responses by the next morning. Wow. So I knew there was something interesting there. And then, you know, over time, I took it from a live service to mainly online. I do, you know, live coaching with people and over the phone coaching as well. But initially it was like two girls take you out and pick up women for you. And then I would go on these outings, which I called them. And I found that most of the time wasn't even being used to go pick up girls. It was to answer questions that my clients had about women. And so I realized just how confused most men are because there's so many things that I realized about men during that beginning period and continuously throughout, you know, my 13-year career doing what I'm doing, things about men that I didn't realize about men. I didn't know that they were afraid of approaching. I didn't know that they were insecure. I didn't know that they feared rejection. All, you know, as a woman, you don't know these things. You just think that, oh, that's a guy. He's supposed to naturally do this and naturally be good at it. And if he, you know, comes off creepy, it's just because he is creepy, not because he's uncomfortable. And, you know, it shone a big light for me, which was wonderful, but also shone a light on a lot of assistance that men need. And I was happy to provide it. So I, you know, continue doing what I was doing and still do it today.
That's really cool. How many years ago was that when you started?
13 years ago, 14 years ago or something. A long time ago, which wow. is crazy to me. And, you know, shortly after I started doing what I was doing, I stumbled upon the pickup artist community, which at that time had no women that were part of that community, you know, for good reason, obviously. But I stumbled upon that community, which was a world of men who were seeking advice on women, and most of them didn't necessarily want the negative sides of PUA tactics. And I feel like I was, you know, one of the voices within that community that steered men away from, oh, let's objectify women and let's belittle women to get them to like us. And then towards, you know, let's be freaking amazing men and get women to want us, chase us, and be attracted to us. And we don't need to make them feel bad in the process.
Yeah, I love that philosophy, too. I'm all about just, like, the whole natural game part of it, being yourself, improving the areas you need to improve in, but, like, working on who you are at your core and yeah. not using, like, manipulation tactics. Yeah, all this other, like, techniques and crap that are in the pick. I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with the pickup artist too, pickup artist industry community, because that's the first thing I stumbled upon when I was, you know, going through my struggles with dating and trying to get yeah. good with women. I mean, it opened my eyes to a lot of things, and it kind of was like the first thing I found. So it was like, all right, this is pretty cool. It gave me a lot of hope to improve myself. And it was like, all right, there's a ton of other guys out there who have these problems too. It's not just me. But then I, yeah. you know, started doing my research into it, looking into it, trying some of the, you know, wacky things that they do. And it wasn't really me. So after that, I kind of shifted away from that and kind of started doing the whole natural game and figuring out how to improve myself and make myself a better man and then attract women from that point.
Which I think is amazing. And it's why I like your stuff and why I resonated with you, because you and I are on very similar pages and we come from the same place. But I think that there are a lot of guys out there that sometimes could look towards the advice that we give and be like, oh, whatever, that's like for pussies, or, you know, that's never going to be a girl, because, you know, you're not doing the not even PUA stuff, but the bad boy edgy stuff. But the truth is that we kind of are, but we're still doing it in a good way. You can still be like, not a dick. I don't want to say a dick, but like a bit of a dick and still be kind. Like my husband, for example. He is one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet in your entire life, but he knows how to stand up for himself. He knows how to throw jabs and, you know, tease people and be playful. Like, they call him the sweet asshole. That's what his friends call him, because he knows how to tease and dig and make fun and joke around with people, but he also knows how to be caring and kind and be empathetic towards other individuals. So it is completely possible to win people over that way, and you don't need to beat them down in order to do it, especially women, because it's going to bite you in the butt afterwards. If you attract somebody with trickery and with, you know, being a player and feeding on all of their insecurities, if you decide to switch things around at any point, it is going to hurt you, because you're either going to end up with a crazy psychopath that you've created, or, you know, you're just going to get all of that behavior back, because you're going to attract somebody who likes that behavior, who's deeply insecure themselves, and who will also treat you like garbage because that's what you've been doing to her. So it's a negative on all fronts.
Yeah, I agree for sure. How has your dating life been, like, kind of knowing all this information in the past 14 years or so? Like, has it been easier or harder for you, kind of seeing through guys' little games and kind of knowing what they're thinking even before they do something?
I mean, it's easier, obviously. But it's also frustrating, to be honest, because there are certain times, even when I'm just on a friendship level interacting with somebody, I can see certain behaviors that they're doing. All I want to do is, like, grab their shoulders and say, don't do it like that, because that's a difficult thing to do as a woman, because it puts me into, like, the masculine alpha role, and that's a little bit difficult and challenging. But I'll say, like, even with my husband, right? Like, I met him right around the same time that I started my company. So I didn't have a lot of dating experience while doing what I'm doing, but I had a lot of experience going through the dating process with my husband. And there were certain things that, because I was studying the mating dance, I was also trying different things out on him, and he would call me out and say, oh, are you trying something on me right now? And I'm like, yes, I am. How are you catching me doing all this stuff? So it would not be great, but it helped me be better to the man that I was dating, because I could understand him. And that's why I know that what I'm doing and what you're doing is so important, because you're educating, and we're educating men on understanding the people that they're trying to potentially partner up with for life, or even just for one night, whatever it is. But you really need to understand the other person on the other side in order to dance with them, to be with them, to attract them. So that was extremely helpful for me, because I was seeing it from my clients, and then I could apply it to my own relationship, where I could understand, oh, he's, you know, trying to be vulnerable right now. Oh, he's scared to be emotional right now. Oh, he's fearful that I'm going to say X, Y, and Z, so that it adjusted my own behavior when interacting with him, so that I was more forthright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like, you know, you found sort of the right guy for you, and he seems like a pretty good dude. He kind of sounds like me, to be honest, like a kind of a nice asshole. He's got that little edge to him, but yes. For the most part, he's a really good guy, and just, you know, he's nice, you know, most of the time, but he can stand up for himself. He knows kind of when to take charge, and that's kind of the perfect guy. It's the perfect mix right there.
Yeah, do you want to date him?
I think I got man crush on him.
It is funny, because somebody – I have a podcast as well, and I was talking on my show, which I will have you on very shortly. And we were talking about, you know, when I did meet my husband, because I've always said on the show, I wasn't attracted to him in the very beginning. He is attractive. He was not on my radar for attractive, because at that time I was very into guys who were, like, you know, 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", Jewish, like.
Oh, close. You were into the shorter guys.
That was my thing, because that's what I.
Okay.
Before, like, that was always my world of who is on my, not my level, but, like, who am I supposed to be attracted to? Who do I picture in the family photo? Like, that's for me what I envision. And my husband is not Jewish. He's not short. He's not a small guy. He, like, looks very different from what I envisioned as my match. So he wasn't on my radar for attractiveness, if that even, you know, if that makes sense to you, but, like, he is attractive, but he wasn't on my radar. So we met on the beach. We were at, like, a weekend volleyball party, and he and I were talking, and we were just having a conversation. There were, you know, there was no flirting going on. And I had a nice conversation with him. We connected for sure. We talked a lot, but I wasn't interested in him at all. Apparently, he was interested in me. And every time that we would see each other, he'd come up and he'd talk to me. And by the third time, like, and I never noticed him, to be honest. I didn't think anything of him. He didn't make me feel anything. But on the third time that I saw him, we were at this one bar. He was sitting down. He was wearing a sweater. He was wearing glasses. And he just started teasing me in a really fun way. And I loved it. And I turned to one of my girlfriends and I said, "Is he cute?" And she goes, "Are you serious?" And I was like, "Yeah, is he attractive? I can't tell." And she was very good looking. And I said, "Okay, I thought so. I didn't see that before." And she's like, "Oh my God, what?" Like basically saying like, "What's wrong with you? How didn't you see that?" But it's because like my attraction wasn't ignited before. And at that moment it was. And then I saw him as somebody attractive. Whereas before his face did nothing for me. His looks did absolutely nothing for me. So his personality kicked his looks into high gear for me and had me see him. And then at the end of the night, I asked him for his phone number.
Wow.
And then we started hanging out with each other. And everything afterwards, every action that he did, I enjoyed. And it was a different experience that I'd ever had. The way that he acted, the way that he did things. Like every time I texted him or called him, he always answered fairly quickly, and it never seemed like it was in a needy, eager way. And I never felt like I was playing games with him. I just felt like we were very much on the same path with one another. And he would invite me out to things, and he would do it in this like really cool, confident way where he would just say, like, you know, one of my favorite places in Los Angeles is the Sunday market, and he would explain why he liked going to the market. He said, you know, come with me. And it was always something that was difficult to say no to. And he always just made it sound so engaging and fun. And it wasn't like, "I'm trying to figure out how to get you and what you'll like on a date. So come join me. I'm available any single day." It never felt like that. It felt like, "I'm doing this on Sunday. This is what I typically do. I'd like to bring you into my world. It's really fun. Would you like to join?" And I liked that. And then he continued doing that continuously, throughout our dating. He had an interesting life that wasn't over the top interesting. He wasn't super rich or anything. In fact, he was actually in debt in the beginning. I didn't know about that, but it's not like he had, you know, this crazy life that, you know, only a millionaire could have, but he had a fun, engaging, interesting life. And he was really passionate about things. And I liked that. And I liked that he would debate with me. I liked that he would challenge me and make me think. So I'm just trying to give like information to your audience about, you know, from mm-hmm. a woman's view about the things that are attractive, especially in the beginning stages. And all of those things, you know, still continue to that day. Our dynamic is very different now, but in the beginning, those things really kept me intrigued and interested in continuing getting to know more about him.
Okay, I love it. There's so much good information in that for sure. So I want to kind of pick a couple things out.
Yeah.
The first thing, though, kind of, you know, just being funny here. First thing is that you were into short guys. I'm about 5'8" with shoes on, because that's how kind of us short guys measure ourselves. We have to wear the shoes first. So right. About 5'8" with shoes. So that's kind of short. But it's funny to hear a woman say she was into shorter guys, because most women, or at least the majority of women I'll come across, will say they're into bigger guys. So it's kind of, you know, reassuring that to know that there's definitely women out there who are looking for shorter guys or have specific types. The other thing is... No.
I would say to my girlfriends, like, "Do you know a short guy? Like, please introduce me." But but that's exactly what I saw. And to be honest, I still am today interested in short guys. If I were to go out and date again, like that, those are always the people who still pull my attraction.
Hmm. They all,
and they have a certain look. Yeah. They all like, that's who at first glance I am most drawn to. Doesn't mean that I'm going to fall in love with them, but that is who I'm most drawn to.
Here's an interesting question. How does your husband feel about that fact, kind of knowing that you weren't naturally drawn to him?
You know what? We've never talked about it. That really hurts my feelings for you to say, mm-hmm. although I'm sure it does. Actually. he's used to me hurting his feelings, I guess. How does he feel about it? I think at the end of the day, like, he won, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And the truth is that he is a very attractive man, and I did find him attractive. I never asked him about that, but I will.
Yeah, it's well, the thing is too, the past two long-term relationships I was in, and I'm recently single the last few months. Actually, I don't think my audience even knows that yet, but I've been single for the past few months. But the last few relationships I've been in long-term, 2.5 and I think 3 years, the two women I dated, I wasn't their type either. Just like you're saying, like they were into totally different guys than me. The first woman was into like big guys, like muscular kind of dudes. I'm just kind of an average looking, you know, sized 5'7", 5'8" guy. And the other girlfriend I had was into like taller guys too, but more like, I think like more like slender, but like tall, like 6'2" kind of guys. And again, that's not me at all. But the thing, like you said, is, which I found so interesting, is he caught your attention right away. And even, did you say, by the way, was it 3 times in the, like the same night that he came across you? Or was it three different days?
3 different days.
Okay. So it took 3 days for him to get your attention, 3 different days, which is very interesting that, you know, by the third time he came around to you. What can guys do though, based off this type of information, because he did eventually come around, you did end up, you know, getting together and being happy and all this other stuff. What can guys do if they're not typically on a woman's radar to get their attention right away? Maybe not even wait 3 days, but maybe get her attention within the same night.
To be honest, he could have done what he did in the third night on the first time that we met each other. And what he did was he playfully teased me. So he showcased different sides of his personality. The first time that we interacted, we were connection oriented, right? Mm-hmm. And so we bonded on certain things. We both liked traveling. We were exchanging stories about who we were. And those things were nice. Did they make me feel anything? No, not really, because he was not that he was being complacent, but he was being kind. And there's nothing wrong with being kind. But I could definitely say I walked away thinking, oh, that's a nice guy. Right? But did I feel anything for him? No. Did I think about him? Did I dream about him? Did I want him to contact me? Absolutely not. But would I go like shoe shopping with him? Sure, 100%. But if he had done the playful teasing that he did on the third day that we met each other, then it would have had me standing up and taking more notice of him, because I would have seen a different side to him. But maybe he didn't even know that that was his intention. Maybe he didn't know that he was interested in me at that time. So for him, he was holding back a little bit as well, thinking, oh, she's nice. She's kind of like, he probably walked away thinking nothing of me. So maybe it was on the third time that he was like, oh, now I'm interested. Now I'm going to, you know, pull out the big guns and start showcasing these other sides of me and have that playful side come out. Or maybe we brought that out in each other. I don't actually know. But so what guys can do, if they do have an interest in the girl that they're talking to, if they're, you know, just exchanging stories and being positive and pleasant, which again is nice, if they do realize that they're attracted to her, they can start playfully teasing a little bit. If she says, oh, you know, I read this in an article recently, but oh, you know, like my favorite movie is Pretty Woman, for example, they could say, oh my God, you're such a girl. Like, what's wrong with you? Why do you, you know, like mm-hmm. teasing as well. If guys don't know how to tease and banter, then like little ways like that of not taking, but taking, I call it taking jabs at little things that she does in a very positive way, right? So kind of like when you were on the playground when you were younger as a little child, little teases like that that you would do to other people on the playground, not actually hurtful comments that can put them down or put their looks down in some way. Those are things that guys can do so they don't have to wait till day 3 to get her to pay attention to them.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It's kind of like in the whole teasing thing, it's kind of like having this, it's in the voice, it's in the way you say things. It might even be like a little smile you have. And mm-hmm. like you said too, it's nothing like attacking her like looks or anything that's near and dear to her heart. You don't want to offend her, but it's more just kind of like surface level stuff that you pick out. Like maybe she has like a girly drink or something, you know, like a fruity, like a blue drink, and you guys are out at the bar and you say, oh, that's such like a girly drink. Like, why don't you have like something better like this, whatever you have in your hand, you know, something like small you can pick out that's not going to really offend her. But kind of just like show that you're joking around, that you have a, you know, personality, you're kind of giving her some shit, and you're one of those guys who has the confidence to give her that shit.
Exactly.
It shows
that you're not afraid to lose her.
Yep.
Putting out a piece of your personality as well, you're showing your fun, witty side. So you're saying, you know, like, I'm interested in you for sure, but I'm not afraid to ruffle some feathers, which is very attractive to a woman because it shows biologically and from an evolutionary point of view that you can protect yourself and that you are going to survive, right? If you're sort of complacent and pleasing, it signals that you're kind of weak in some way and you won't be able to survive long term.
Absolutely. It's kind of I don't know how you feel about the whole alpha male concept, but it's definitely like alpha kind of traits displaying here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of studies out there. I forget what the numbers are here, so don't quote me, but it's something along the lines of like the top 20% of men get like the top 80% of women, and it's like that's because these guys have these kind of traits. They have this ability. They have this, you know, these alpha traits, this ability to showcase them, to show their confidence, to show that they don't care if, you know, they don't get this girl. There's so many other girls there. And that's what the women are attracted to. They're attracted to these guys who have these certain skills and know how to talk to them and know how to come across and display these things.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. We had Adam Galab was on our podcast. Mm-hmm. The other day, one of the topics we were discussing was teasing and being playful. And he said there was this one thing that he would always do when he was in the dating world. He would go up to this girls and he would cheers them if they were at a bar or something. And he said, cheers me, we're celebrating. And then they would clink, so they would have some sort of a wee moment. But at some point he would say to her, he would look at her outfit and comment on something she was wearing or her color hair, like what are how would he phrase it? He would say, why don't you and your ripped jeans come over to our table, and why don't you and your curly hair, like, again, nothing that's insulting, but something that's like it's like a playful thing. And I on the show I couldn't even describe what it was that made that playful or made that interesting, but it's something that is attractive and it works. It makes you feel like a little girl. And it can be a bad thing for some women, but I would say most women, if you're also having a really good conversation, you're connecting with each other, and you throw something like that in, it clearly states, yeah, I'm flirting with you. Yes, I have sexual intent for you. But it's also not too over the top that it can be seen as creepy or off-putting, and it's just playful, and it makes you feel like a dainty little female. There's something in it, and I think it's like a really good thing that a lot of guys can do. Of, you know, what are you in your dangerous boots doing tonight? Like what? Like if she's wearing like these big clunky boots or big high-heeled boots, something like that, to comment on what she's wearing and call attention to them as if they're their own entity. It's just like a fun thing to initiate playfulness.
It definitely takes things to the next level too. It separates you from just being that kind of friend guy who you mentioned earlier you'd go shoe shopping with to a potential mate or lover that you might actually have sex with or have a relationship with.
Exactly.
And it also, on the other hand, too, kind of weeds out the women that you don't want to be with. Like you said, if most women are going to be cool with this kind of stuff, if you say it the right way, if you have a, you know, playful attitude, they're going to be cool with it. They're going to laugh. Maybe they won't love you. Not all the women are going to love you, but they'll kind of appreciate it. But the women who don't are, you know, the uptight women or whatever, the people who get offended by it, those are kind of the ones you don't want around anyway. So it's like, why not just kind of weed them out and figure out who you can be with?
Right. Unless that's you. Unless you're that uptight person as well, who's like, I would never say that. And she said, I would never want that to be said to me. Great. You're a great match for each other. And there's something for you to bond on. Even if you do try that out and you're like, oh, this feels icky to me, and you're still attracted to this girl and she has a negative reaction, you could even say, like, you know what, I was just trying something out. That, like, and just sort of say, like, I guess I fucked up. Like, I'm just trying something out that obviously did not work. Let's go back to having boring conversation. Just in some way bring it back and just say, you know what, that didn't work so well. Because it doesn't mean that she's, like, a stuck-up snob or anything. It just means that for her that didn't resonate with her. But if the rest of your conversation was resonating, then she could still be a wonderful woman for you.
Yeah, I love that point. I've done that so many fucking times. I've messed up, said something really stupid, or was trying some new thing out I heard online, and it just didn't go well. I'll say something like that. Well, you know, that was really dumb. But, you know, the point is here is you don't want to linger on it. You don't want to, like, get all, you know, hurt and bent out of shape about messing up. You just kind of move past it and act like it wasn't a big deal, or you say, you know, I fucked up. That wasn't funny.
Yeah, make fun of it. You can say, like, oh, so that didn't turn you on? Last time I'm getting my information from, like, hothornyguys.com. Like, something like that, just to show that you can make light of it. Or not, if that's not even in your character, you don't have to. You just say, you know what? I was trying something out that I read online that did not work, but I'm interested in you. That's the same message that I wanted to get across. Because boldness, no matter what, is attractive. Boldness will be attractive to anybody. It may make a woman feel uncomfortable, but that's not a bad thing. It's always going to be attractive.
Hey guys, I've been talking about the natural dating blueprint now for the past few weeks, and for good reason. This is the best dating course on the market. By the end of this course, you're going to be able to meet, attract, and date virtually any woman you want, all while being natural. That's because this course talks all about working on your core and who you are inside you and bringing those things out and making you the best version of yourself. You're not going to find phony gimmicks, routines, or other pickup artist crap inside this course. It's all about perfecting who you are at your core and making that shine. There's 7 incredible modules, 45 action-packed lessons, and 13 and a half hours of incredible video content. Also, full support on any questions you have and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can basically try the course out for 30 days, and if it's not exactly what you want and exactly what you thought it was going to be, you return the course free of charge. For a limited time only, seriously, I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep this link up for, but for a limited time only, you can go to naturaldatingblueprint.com, sign up for the free training, and get yourself 33% off the entire course. So again, it's naturaldatingblueprint.com. Sign up for the free training, get yourself 33% off the entire Natural Dating Blueprint course, and get on the fast track to changing your dating life forever.
What are your thoughts on complimenting women, like saying she's beautiful, she's, you know, sexy, gorgeous, whatever it is, like right away in the interaction, or at some point soon within the interaction? Being bold, I guess, in this point.
I think there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're not doing it to please or to get her to like you more, or it's insincere. I think the best types of compliments are ones that are showing that you see something in this woman that you're talking to. So if it's a beautiful woman and you say, oh, you're beautiful, she's like, it bounces off of her. She's like, I've heard that 3 times tonight. And you know, they're all from that guy over there, but like, you know, like it's not as appreciated. But if you say something that's really complimentary after you've had a conversation with her, or, you know, if there's a woman who maybe doesn't feel so beautiful in that moment and you notice it after you start talking to her, then those things can work. I've had guys use compliments to start conversations with me, but it's never really opened me up if they say, oh, you're so beautiful. I just look at them. I say, thanks. It doesn't really start a conversation for me. But if they were to be in conversation with me and then say, oh, you know, you're like really beautiful, like that would hit me, because I know that they were seeing me. Even though they're seeing me before, if they just look at me and say it to me, it would feel different for me, and I would take it in differently.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's kind of more meaningful at that point, as opposed to just like, you know, a pickup line that a lot of guys are using, especially at the bar at night. You know, just, hey, you're sexy, or hey, beautiful, come here, like that kind of shit doesn't really work.
But it also depends on who delivers the message, and it depends on if I don't feel I don't. When I was younger, I didn't feel like a sexy person, right? So if somebody who I thought was kind of sexy said to me, you're sexy, that would make me feel good. It wouldn't maybe get me talking to them, but it would make me feel good. So I wasn't against that type of complimenting at all, as long as it's followed up with something else.
Yeah. I also like, for like an approach, just something along the lines of walking up, and if you want to be direct, it's more of something like, no, hey, I just wanted to come over here. You're really pretty. I had to come introduce myself. You know, my name's Justin. Like something like that. You're not leading with it. You're not like, you know, trying to be crazy with it. Like some of the other guys just throwing compliments out there. But it's like a real genuine way to show why you're going up there. And you're also being aligned and congruent with why you're going up to her, because you think she's pretty. You think she's beautiful. And you're saying that. You're like, so you don't like linger on it, but you're confident enough to go up and say it and then have a conversation afterwards.
Yeah, that can be your opener. If you expect her to suddenly start conversation after you make that statement, like, you're not going to get that typically. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get her to respond. If that's your high, that's it. Like, that's it. And then you have to continue with the conversation so that you spark conversation afterward. That statement alone isn't going to get her saying, oh my God, I really want to talk to you too, blah, blah, blah. I've been eyeing you for the past 3 hours. So, or most often, it's not going to get that response.
Yeah, the hardest part, I mean, I tell guys this all the time, the hardest part of any approach is the transition away from the approach, like to really get her into a conversation with you, to get her talking, to get her invested in you. It's all about transitioning away from that first line. That's just literally to get you in the door. Everything else that happens after that happens because of the transition away from that.
Yeah, that perks her ears. That gets her to go, huh? And look at you. And then, yeah, you have to continue afterwards.
What are the best ways that you've found working with guys that work for approaching women, like daytime kind of approaches and nighttime approaches? What works best?
I have a method that's called OSA, which is observe, share, and ask. And that is by far and hands down the best way to approach anybody, let alone, you know, just women, but anybody. So you start off conversation as if you're already 2 minutes into the conversation. You know the people. You're not asking permission to talk to them. Like a lot of guys are like, hi, my name is Justin. Is it okay if I come over? So this one cuts out all the fluff in the very beginning. So you make an observation about the world around you, about her, about anything in general, maybe just something that's going on in your head, right? That she can't hear, but something's happening with you. You make an observation. Then you share about that observation. So you give the why, you give it substance, you give it expanded information. And typically that sharing brings her into your world a little bit more, shows her the way that you think, the way you feel about yourself, the way you observe things. Again, giving her a little tidbit into you and your world. And then you open it up by asking her an open-ended question at the very end that brings her into your world. So observe, share, and ask. So observation, oh my God, those muffins smell absolutely amazing, right? That's an observation if you're standing in line at Starbucks. The next thing is giving some substance to why you made that statement. I am so hungry. I have not eaten in 3 hours. I'm on this cleanse. Whatever the substance is, you give that, and then you say, have you tried their muffins before? Okay, or and then you can ask a follow-up question, like, what's your favorite kind of muffin? Something like that, or, oh, you don't eat muffins? What's wrong with you? So, what happened in childhood that you don't eat muffins? Like, it could lead to a more expanded conversation.
Cool, I like that. So it's basically an observational opener. You're seeing what's happening in her environment, what's going on, like what you can talk about or bring up. And the cool thing about it, it's totally relevant. It's pertinent to what's happening in her, like what's happening in the moment right now. So that's a good way to, I mean, I always love observational openers. I think they're the best when you can pull them off, when you can think of something like right now in the moment that's happening. Sometimes guys, I feel like, get a little lost or whatever. They get too in their heads and they're like, you know, they can't think of anything clever to say. But it's really not, you know, about being clever. It's just about anything, literally anything you can comment on in that moment. And I think once they figure that out, that kind of thing, it's a lot easier to start conversations.
Absolutely. And there is a way to practice all of this beforehand, so that I call it, you know, working your conversation muscle. So you can practice OSA on your own, either in your room or walking down the street. There's two exercises that I give to people. One is using a set of flashcards, where, you know, like flashcards for children, where they have, you know, different things that are on the flashcards. You can go through that deck. Mm-hmm. You can flip over one of the cards and let's say an apple comes up. Okay. So you make an observation about the apple that you see, right? It's a red apple observation. And then on your own, you think of stories that can connect to that red apple, how you think about apples. Where the last time was that you had a really good apple? Have you ever been to an apple orchard? Like all, you can practice all these things. And like for the next minute, you think of all of these associations. And this is something that comedians do as well. You just draw associations to different items or observations of the world and just get all of those out of you to see that you do have a ton of information that you can share with people. And then you can practice, you know, asking a question afterwards. So all of these things can be done in the privacy of your own home. So if you do that every single night for half an hour, every single night for 2 weeks, like you will be rocking observations. Another thing you can do is if you don't want to go, you know, pay a dollar for flashcards, you could just do it while you're walking down the street. Go for a walk for half an hour. And as you walk, make sure that every 5 steps that you take, you make an observation about something. You see the mailbox. Okay. And then you have a share afterwards. You want to expand on that. And you pull in every story, thought, feeling that you have associated with a mailbox or a light post or a person wearing orange shorts, whatever it is that you do see. So you can practice all these things safely by yourself so that when it does, you know, a moment does appear for you where there is a woman that you want to talk to, it won't be like you're just like, I don't know, I have a conversation. I heard about this OSA thing that I've never really applied before. I'm going to try it right now. You can say, okay, you know, I'm armed with something, even though I'm really nervous right now, but I can get to that place and now practice on human beings.
That's fantastic. I love the OSA concept, and I also love the ability to practice this to get good at it. Like you said, the flashcards are great and great way to practice and kind of just get your imagination working, get your mind working, like, you know, on the spot. Like, you can just think of things immediately, and then you go out and see these things in, you know, conversations with women, or, you know, when you're out trying to meet women, it's just going to like flow so much better. I like the whole comedian thing makes so much sense too.
Yeah. And like, just like you said in the very beginning of this conversation, these are skills. You're learning skills, which means that you can improve on them if you practice them. A skill, just like any other thing in the world that you do, playing tennis, carpentry, accounting, like all these things are all, they're all skills. And I, not that I hate, but I hate that, you know, people think that they're supposed to be naturals at something. They get really down on themselves if they're not a natural at conversation, not a natural at connecting with people. I used to be the exact same way, that I'm like, oh, why can these people do it so much easier than I can? But I didn't realize that maybe they are more natural with that skill, but I can learn to have that skill as well. There's so many resources out there right now from people who didn't have those skills who now have them. So, you know, utilizing those resources, taking a good chunk of time to actually practice and apply them will help you become better.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of picturing the walking down the street, noticing different things in my mind right now. I think it might be pretty funny, you know, walking by and, you know, I'm thinking like talking out loud, like talking to yourself, like, oh, mailbox. I had a mailbox before, you know, saying all this random shit.
If you do that with a smile, positive body language, and confidently, like, that actually can be a conversation starter for you. Like, I'm doing this thing. I'm trying to get better at conversation. Let me apply what I've just learned to you. Does this work on you? Like, just being curious in general about whether or not something you're doing is working is also very engaging. Curiosity is huge. Like, genuine curiosity is a great way to have a conversation with a woman and get her to open up more. So, for example, if you do get into conversation and she says something that piques an interest, you can ask her, you can just say the word, why? Why do you feel that way? Why do you think that way? Oh, tell me more. Like, the curiosity is also really interesting because it also gets her talking more and it shows her that you're interested. And remembering that a lot of people have trouble with conversation, especially when they're in high pressure moments. So in any way that you can help that woman out as well, or even people that you're talking to, in giving them more conversation and putting them at ease, is really attractive and helpful.
What are some of the ways to get her to kind of open up to you? Is it like open-ended questions, or are there type of like common questions that you ask her, like maybe trying to relate to commonalities that you may share? Is it stuff like that, or is there anything else?
Yeah, really good questions. So if you're talking about, maybe she mentions she was a dancer when she was younger, you could say, oh, you know, I could tell that about you. Maybe something that you know about dancers' bodies, or the way that their feet move together. It's something that you know on your own. And you can say, you know, what was your favorite class when you were younger? Or what specifically do you like about dancing? Like, how does it make you feel when you're dancing? When was the last time that you had a really good dance session? Like, those things would get me to open up, because I used to be a dancer. So if somebody said, like, when was the last time that you had a really good dance session? I would probably say, oh my God, I don't know. But, and I would go internal to think about this and open up a little bit more. And I would give that person a part of me, because they're asking not surface level questions. They're asking something that's a little bit, not too deep, but deeper about me. And then if they ask me, you know, how does it feel when you dance? Like, why, or why did you stop doing it? And that's another question that gets me to share a little bit more about myself. And I can choose to share as much as I want to with you, but that's a way to engage more in conversation. Another way is that when a woman asks a question of you, if you can try to answer in a very similar fashion by giving her real information about you, and then also, you know, asking a question back or giving information back to her. So I've had several times on I used to do boot camps, and there was a common situation that happened, and even in my coaching work, where men will ask me questions and I will give my heart, like what we're doing right now. Like, I give everything to a response to make sure that they are armed with everything that they need. And a lot of the men, after I would do this, would look at me, nod, and then ask another question. And it would drive me insane. It would like break my heart every single time because I would say, wait, are you not valuing what I'm giving to you? Are you not paying attention to me? Are you not listening to me? Even though I was their coach, you know, I had the same experiences that so many women have on dates. And just like you and I have been doing, I've been saying something and I love how you'll respond and say, you know what? I totally agree with that. And here's my little take on what you just said as well. That shows that you're actively listening and that you also have something to contribute and you also appreciate what I have to say. That's a really great way to get a woman to continue opening up to you, because if she opens up to you and you shut her down, which in her mind, if you don't say anything, that's you shutting her down. She's going to close off a little bit and not give you as much the second time around.
Yeah, I guess I'll do it again right now. I really love that last point there. It makes so much sense. Like, that's literally how to have great conversations with people. It's to listen to what they're saying, actually really listen to what they're saying, figure out what they're most, like, passionate about when they're saying different things, what they're most interested in that moment, and then add to that. Pick that out, because they may say, and especially when you get in conversations with women and you're first meeting them, they may talk about a million different things if they're opening up. They may mention a bunch of stuff. Pick out the things that you think are most interesting to them or that are most what they want to talk about, what they're most passionate about in that moment. And then that's what you want to kind of focus the conversation on. You pick that out, you know, you start talking about, for you it would be dance. You start talking about dance, and then she starts talking, you know, ask her how it feels when you did that, you know, what you like about it, what did it make you feel like inside, you know, why was it so special to you, those kinds of things. And then you just literally, that's how you go have conversation. You just literally pick those things out and just keep going from that point forward. And the more you do that, the more she's going to feel invested in the conversation, and also she's going to appreciate you, like, listening to her, like you said.
Exactly. And the more that you can pull yourself into that conversation as well, be like, listen, I didn't dance when I was younger. I took one tap class, but for me, the, you know, equal to your how you feel about dancing is collecting baseball cards. I know that seems silly, but like every single time I got a new baseball card, I would like just that way, you know, you would share back a bit of yourself. Because there's a lot of times where, actually, I'm going to take a step back for a second. On my show the other day, there was this one, oh, we had like a listener come on to our show, and he was talking about this jelly bean concept. Like, if you're on a date and you always have to think about how there's two jars in front of you and both people on the date are constantly, hopefully, contributing to those jars and putting jelly beans in them. So, you know, you don't want to go in with a handful of jelly beans and dump 30 jelly beans into your jar, and you want to sort of give those jelly beans slowly. Like, you put a few jelly beans in, and then hopefully she'll put a few jelly beans in, and then you'll put a few more in, and then she'll put a few more in, maybe she'll put a few more in after that. Like, so you want it to sort of be equal in sharing information with each other. So the jelly beans equate to information that you divulge to one another or share with the other person.
Yeah.
To let them know more about you. So if you have that visual in your mind, okay, well, you know, she just shared three things about herself that are pretty personal. I should probably share something as well. You know what? And it doesn't have to be too personal, but it can be like, you know what? I'm really like dogs. I'm a huge dog lover. I know you didn't know that about me, but I, you know, do work at animal shelters, and I don't know. In my mind, every time I give an example, it's always this altruistic person that's so good. And most people aren't like that, but it can be something so stupid. Like, you know what? I love going to brunch on Sunday. That's like my thing. That's my absolute thing. Here are five places that I love going to brunch to. It can be as simple as sharing that information. And then you can open it up with a question afterwards of, okay, you know what? Like, these are the five places that I've gone to recently for brunch. I'm dying to know of other places to go to because I'm getting tired of my standard routine. Where are the last three places that you've gone for brunch that you absolutely think that I must go to? Like, something like that. Like, a very simple conversation that can just get another person to share their point of view, share their opinion, and engage with you and help you out in some way.
Yeah, I love the – I mean, you have to – like you said, you have to add value too, like, in the conversation, and talk as well about the things that that you want, like, you want to talk about and relate it to her. So, for instance, like, I always say, like, there's three big commonalities you can talk to or relate to with women. It's where she's from, like, her location, what she does for work, and what her hobbies are. And – you don't have to, and it's great to have the direct relationship or the direct commonality connection to, say, like, where she's from or what she does for work or a hobby that she has. If you have that, you know, same interest and that's your hobby, like, that's great. You can say that. But even if you don't, you can still relate it to yourself. You can still build a connection. For instance, if she says something like, oh, yeah, I'm from Miami, ask her where she's from. She says, She's from Miami. You say, oh, I've never been. If you've never been there, you don't know what it's like. You say, oh, I've never been there, but I had a couple buddies that that go there every year on vacation, and you know they love it. They say the weather's great, the party life is awesome, nightlife is awesome. You know, is that true? Like, how is it down there? Is it, you know, crazy, like fun? And that's how you make that connection right there, because you obviously don't have any connection in Miami, but you're still building a conversation up because you're bringing an example of someone who does have that connection. You're basing it off that. Next thing you know, she's talking about the weather. She's talking about the nightlife. And you guys start, you know, shooting the shit about that kind of stuff. So it's always good to add value to it and also bring that connection into it when you can, even if it's not a direct connection.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Totally agree.
Marnie, what are the best places to meet women? There's so many, you know, different avenues you can take nowadays. There's the Tinder apps. There's the online dating. There's the in-person, of course, which seems to be fading away as, you know, people get connected more and more to social media and the like. But what are some of your best places that guys can go out now and meet women?
To be honest, everywhere. Just like pick your head up and look around you. There's tons of women around you at all times. The grocery store, the gym, walking down the street, your office. There's like women all around you. But I will say that, you know, going to places where you do have more opportunity to engage in conversation. So even online dating or using the apps of some sort, joining groups, being part of clubs, going to meetups, being a part of singles events, like things like that, where people can be more focused and give you more time compared to a random woman walking down the street, is always going to be a better place for forming a connection with another person. So honestly, my answer is everywhere. I don't have like my favorite place to meet women.
Yeah, I agree. Like everywhere you go, I mean, there's always opportunity there. And then the more you go out, the more you, you know, say take classes, the more you go to different places, try new things out, you're going to just increase your odds of meeting someone there. And, you know, I always tell guys, just talk to women. You know, there's no outcome dependency where you like you have to get her number or you have to, you know, date this girl or anything like that. Just start talking to people. There's nothing wrong with being a social guy. I mean, it's actually great to be that social guy who starts conversations and who talks people up. And if something comes of it, that's great. If it doesn't, that's good too. There's nothing wrong with that.
I completely agree, 100%. Like, you don't have to want to be with every single woman that you talk to. And the thing is that maybe you could just engage in conversation with a woman in your exercise class or at the gym that you're not interested in, but somebody else that you could be attracted to could watch you talking to another woman at the gym and seeing you as an open, playful person who can engage in conversation. And then she can start to find you attractive because of your body language, the way that you interact with others, things that she sees from you. Instead of you going to the gym, keeping your head down, leaving the gym after you work out, she gets to see more about you so that she may actually engage in conversation with you if she wants to start a conversation. Or potentially the next time that you see her and you're like, oh, she is attractive, then she's already armed with information about you, thinking, oh, that guy's the guy who like talks to everybody. I want to talk to him too.
Marty, what's we just got a couple of questions here, and then we're going to sort of wrap things up. But what's the biggest misconception or problem that you see men having with women?
The biggest misconception is that men don't acknowledge that women are human as well, and that we have insecurities, and we're uncomfortable, and we get nervous, and we're not perfect specimens, and we do, you know, things that may not be to the best of our character at times. And also the biggest misconception is that women are like men in, so let me take a step back for a second. So a lot of the times women will be polite to men, but that doesn't mean that they want anything from them. They are being courteous and polite. So for example, if you're, you know, you've met a girl and you have her phone number and you text her and she responds like a couple of days later with little information and doesn't really try to engage you, doesn't give you any of the extras, let's call it, so like extra emotion within her responses back, that's her polite way of saying, I'm not really interested in you, but I'm not going to be a dick. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be rude to you. And I think if a lot more men understood that about women, that if a woman's not giving back in any way, then either you have to switch up what you're doing to get her to engage, or you have to move on to somebody else.
Love it. What, so just following up on that, what are some good signs that you can share with us to, you know, to know if a woman is into you in person and like maybe through text or social media messaging?
Really, if you're getting her to respond and say yes to things and to exactly like we were just talking about, the exchange of information over through conversation, it's the same thing over texting and same thing in person. If she's not investing back in you, and you know, it's not, and you're in, not that you're overly investing, but you're investing and you're asking questions and you're, you know, being confident, and she's still not giving back to you in any way, then she's not into you. She hasn't been sparked in any way by you. So either switch up what you're trying to do. So very similar to what my husband did, switch it up and try something else. Maybe showcase a different side of you and see if that like lights a fire, or move on.
Is there any way to discern the women who are playing hard to get from the women who just have zero interest?
Yes. Okay. So zero interest gives you nothing that showcases her personality at all. Mm-hmm. Right. So nothing that will be kind of, bantery or smart alecky or, teasing in some way. Like the women who are playing hard to get, it's as if they have a smirk on their face while they're sending you information. Right. Who, will make you work for it a little bit more, but there's emotion in what they, which is hard for a lot of men to pick up on. Let me try and give you an example. So if you write to a girl and you say, hey, you know, I'd love to, you know, see you next week. Are you free on Wednesday? And she says, oh, I'm working all next week. Yeah. And that's it. Then
that's nothing.
Somebody who's not interested in you, right? There's nothing to say, oh, I'm, you know, I'm busy next week, but I can be free the following Thursday, whatever it was, blah, blah. So a woman who's making you work a little harder for it is going to say something like, give me a second. Like, I'm like playing with my fingers right now. Just like, what would I write? So it would be sort of like more smart alecky. I'm just at your beck and call. Like, I'll be ready whenever you're ready. Let's try another date or something like that. That like gives you a little bit to reengage.
Yeah.
And to have a conversation. And it's a little bit maybe snarky sometimes. Maybe she's not responding back right away, but it's not something that cuts your conversation off completely.
Yep. Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I actually love this topic. I think you're making it very clear for a lot of guys, because, you know, some, especially the new guys that just kind of starting off, they like, it's really tough, like you said, to kind of even give an example of it, but it's really tough to figure out, is this girl not interested in me at all, or is she just kind of like, you know, giving me a shit test here? Is she just trying to, you know, figure out if I am, you know, worthy enough to kind of date her or anything like that? Because yeah. Sometimes they will do that kind of stuff and just kind of, you know, figure out if this is, you know, is this guy really as confident as he, you know, was at the bar? Is he as confident as he appears to be? Is he, you know, as bold as he was that night? Or is he kind of just, you know, putting on a facade? And that's kind of their way of figuring you out.
Yeah, sometimes you're on the fence. You're like, I don't know. Like, I met this guy when I was kind of drunk, and I can't really remember. He was cute, but, like, I'm not feeling it right now. I'm not totally into him. But if you can show that you're sort of not put off by our – not indifference, but it's a little bit of indifference or not knowing about you, and you can still come back fighting a little bit, it can be interesting, and that can engage us in some way. Again, like, my expertise isn't on lines, and I have lots of examples of, you know, things that people say, but I can tell you when I read what a woman writes, or if you tell me what a woman's saying, I can tell you right away if she is into it or if she's not into it, and exactly how to respond.
Love it. Yeah. That is a awesome, awesome skill to have. But gentlemen, persistence is the key. I do want to leave you with that. Marnie, just kind of wrapping things up here, is there a last takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience? It's been a phenomenal interview, by the way. I had a lot of fun on this episode, and you know, a lot of great information you shared. Is there a last takeaway message you'd like to leave, and then also the place you'd like to send our listeners to check out more about you?
Well, thank you for saying that, first of all. And I've had fun too. Like, it is funny. Cause I want to compliment you and then draw it back to the conversation that we've had during this call. there are plenty of times where I do interviews and, you know, with men, things can flow really naturally and I can get a nice surge of energy where I feel like I'm giving quality information and, you know, the conversation's going really well. And there's other times like which is right now during this conversation. And there's other times where the person who's interviewing me, like it literally feels like they're sucking all of the energy out of me. And I want the interview to end right away. This interaction with you has been very pleasant and nice. And like, I feel full of energy and I could go on for another hour and a half with you.
Thank you.
So, having conversation with a man, especially where you get the sense that he's listening, and that he also has his own point of view and his own experiences that he's willing to contribute and share and showcase. That is an engaging conversation. Whether it's for attraction, whether it's for an interview, whatever, it's something that makes a woman feel something about the other person. So I will say that, like, I'll end this call thinking like, oh, that Justin guy's awesome. Like, I'll remember you afterwards. And it means something, you know? So for guys who are listening, the way that we've been interacting during this call is very similar to how you want to interact when you are approaching women and you're on dates, because, you know, Justin helped move my conversation along. He was guiding me through a conversation. He wasn't just letting me talk, and he wasn't dominating the conversation. And that is the type of conversation that you want to have. You don't want to dominate. You want to lead.
Love it. Thank you. I appreciate that too, by the way. Marty, what's the place you want our guys to check out
stuff? Yes. Of course. So go to winkgirlmethod.com. That's my website. There's tons of videos on there. It's free stuff. Tons of videos, lots of articles on every topic you would ever think of or want to know information on, with exact instructions on how to do things. And you can also listen to my podcast, which is formerly the Ask Women podcast, but it's now called What She Wants. We have about 210 episodes so far. It's awesome, entertaining, educating, and we have unbelievable guests on our show telling you what they want.
Awesome. Love it. Guys, make sure you check that out, winggirlmethod.com and What She Wants podcast. And Marnie, thanks again for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure and had a blast just, you know, shooting shit with you and talking dating stuff. So thank you again.
Let's find a time for you to be on my podcast as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to come on.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. So thanks, Marnie, and take care and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, perfect.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.